Working now. We were talking about, today's December 3rd, and I'm cutting Bobby's hair, and he was telling me about using blue mussels for something or other.
The blue mussels, the alley didn't have a big heavy beard, and they pluck the hair out when, you know, just feeling it, and they didn't use no razor. And you could see most of the pictures you see of old Aleuts, they had mustache, and they'd pluck their beard out. And heck, they cut their hair with a knife, you know, just reach back there, cut it off, and then later on when it got westernized, they start using. It's pretty hard to. When some things come to my head, I always just like that now, hair cutting.
Did your Uncle Jack always wear his hair short?
No, I got pictures of him. It was long. It was kind of like a regular homemade haircut. I'll show you his pictures. And I often wondered, a lot of times I see people wearing glasses. They thought it was dignified. Whether they needed them or not. Kind of stupid, but that, or else style or something. Style.
Did they have a doctor in Chinigo when you were growing up?
No.
No?
No doctor. I think later on, a dentist would come around once a year.
Did they have any midwife or healers that lived there?
Oh yeah, there were several midwives that you know. In fact, there was a school teacher. His wife, the weather blew up, and they couldn't get to Cordova. Or I guess it was get to Dryer Bay. There was a registered nurse down there. And the weather blew up and they couldn't get to there. And
The teacher's wife was going to have a baby?
Yeah. And the one of the midwives delivered her baby right there in Chinigo. And after she grew up to be in her 20s, she wanted to see where she was born. She came up to Chinigo. His name was Cooney. He was from West Virginia. He was the one that suggested I went to recruitment. I guess because I was, my aptitude or whatever you call it was. I was an A student.
Did that mean that you wouldn't be any more trouble to him if he sent you off?
Pardon?
Did that mean he wouldn't have to put up with you? Were you a troublemaker?
No. Because sometimes I'd be absent or what did Bobby see, a duck fly by or something?
So you like to be out hunting rather than school if you had the chance?
No, I start trapping with my dad, but when I got back in, I would catch up with the schoolwork, homework, and do my homework. See, you must remember that the school wasn't established in Chinigo till 1926.
So that wasn't too long before you.
Yeah, I mean.
Do you remember what year you started school? Do you remember what year you started school?
When I was 6 years old. 1935, 34, something like that. But I went to Cordova.
Oh, so you started when you lived in Tutitlick then?
No, I started first grade or second grade in Cordova.
Uh-huh.
I remember I went and looked at the school I started in. It's a rooming house, the old school. The first year I was in school, I didn't even know what room I stayed in. I was pretty dumb then, I guess.
So did you?
I didn't even learn how to write my name the first year in school. I did everything backwards. It's, you know, the Y first and then the B's and the B's,
uh-huh.
The O and then the B's. I wrote backwards.
Huh.
That's funny. But then later on I skipped seventh grade. I went from six to eight. And they said seventh was the hardest I did. But I read a lot.
Uh-huh. So when you were going to school in Cordova, were your folks living in Cordova too?
I was more or less a VIA kid.
Oh, so you had to go away to school. You didn't go away to school a lot then.
No, I was living with some people and VIA paid them so much.
Uh-huh.
So much a month. It wasn't much, but it was, during that time, it was a lot, I guess.
And was that another Native family you stayed with?
Yes. They were distant relatives.
Uh-huh.
Very distant.
Uh-huh.
But they treated me.
Uh-huh.
This was right at the latter part of depression, and times were real tough.
Uh-huh.
I guess for $10 some days you could buy a lot of groceries.
Uh-huh.
I don't think it was much that VIA paid, but they, you know, they paid them so much for taking care of two of us.
Mm-hmm.
Me and Anne.
Uh-huh. Your sister Anne.
But my other sister, Eleanor, someone adopted her right away.
How, I forget, how old were you when your mom died?
7 or 6.
Uh-huh. So this, when you went to school, was shortly after your mom died?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And that was before you went to live with your new mom and dad, with the Ivanovs?
Yeah.
Well, I'm almost done here. I didn't measure every single one.
Oh, good.
Looks a little. Let me see if I can get a little of these patches evened out here a little bit. Do you remember when you lived in Chenega or Tutitlick, if you ever got sick, was there someone you went to for medicine or for a poultice or something? Did the midwives do stuff like that too?
No, there was an elder lady that was expert on that.
Uh-huh.
Because I remember her, when my foster dad got sick, she diagnosed his sickness.
Uh-huh. You know, do you remember what kind of treatment she gave for him?
I think it was kidney sickness.
Uh-huh.
And she diagnosed him. And I guess that was his problem.
Hmm.
And that's when I heard when someone came and asked him, you know, my dad was sick that winter, he couldn't trap.
Uh-huh.
Someone came and asked him if he could trap in his area that winter.
Uh-huh.
Because he wasn't. See, the areas were gentleman's agreement. Where his dad trapped, he trapped. Where his dad had a fish camp, he had a fish camp.
Uh-huh.
And that was handed down.
Uh-huh.
Boy, in 1946, when I come home, I read a letter that the government was willing to give the natives land on their aboriginal rights.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, the date had expired. Boy, I was sure.
Oh, boy.
You know, they could have owned that land way before the land thing.
Uh-huh.
Nobody knew about it.
Yeah.
Nobody could interpret the land.
Huh. Yeah.
Just put that in the box in there. It'll be in the laundry tomorrow.
In the bathroom?
Yeah, no, there's a box right there.
Okay.
Yeah, the midwives, I remember. Doni Kumkop, she was one.
Uh-huh.
That's when I started noticing.
That was in Geneva.
But before then, I don't quite remember which the names. I was too young to.
Uh-huh.
But I do remember she was.
And she was the older lady you were talking about?
That's one that I know of, but
mm-hmm.
I guess, I guess that was hand it down. I don't really.
Mm-hmm. You were probably pretty healthy when you were a kid, huh?
Pardon?
You were probably pretty healthy when you were a kid.
Yeah, I was. I think the only problem I had was ear infection.
Uh-huh.
That goes back with, I think, or something. I think I got water in my ear.
Uh-huh. Huh.
I almost didn't qualify for the Army on account of that eardrum.
Uh-huh.
Punctured eardrum, but I did pass.
Uh-huh.
I had my choice whether to go or not to go.
Uh-huh.
I went.
Huh.
There was one guy in the village. He was real, real hard of hearing.
Uh-huh.
I mean, when it came to talk, but he could hear the little birds. You know?
Huh. Yeah, I think some people can hear some things that are high but not low or something like that.
He couldn't hear you talking.
Uh-huh.
His name was Alex Steve. His pictures in that too much.
Uh-huh.
I guess if you got appendix, them days you were done in, you know, because they got you to a doctor.
So they didn't have any treatment at that time in the village?
I guess during the epidemic, as I was told, they used these steam vats for ailments.
Uh huh. Like the banya.
Yeah. And this priest that was in the area, when their people were getting sick, tried to keep them from doing that.
Uh-huh.
Every time they got sick, they tried to take this hot steam bath.
Uh-huh.
And that was worse.
Huh.
There was no... During that flu epidemic, there was no trained doctors around.
Uh-huh.
Just the ones that pulled through are the ones that survived. I don't know whether they could have done anything about it.
Yeah. And was that in, did that he hit to Titlick in Geneva, so like 1917 or something like that?
1917, 1918.
Oh,
1917,
uh-huh.
It was worldwide.
Yeah, I know other places and other people who
because I think they found cabins in rural Canada that they found the bones and everything in there.
Mm-hmm.
They kind of thought that
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And I guess TV was pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was more or less fatal to the guys that got it.
Uh-huh.
Like, here's what one person told me, and he is a Caucasian. He's a white person. He noticed that in the village, they used to have a, I think it was the North Star. It went all through the coast of Alaska.
Mm-hmm.
They had a doctor over there, a dentist, and they would take physicals and all that. And there's this one woman that had TB bad, and they took her x-rays, and next year when they come back, they were amazed. They didn't expect to see her.
Oh, was that the spruce tips you were telling me about?
And what the guy told me, she took these spruce tips and made tea out of them. That's what she used.
Uh-huh. Did they drink that every day? Would someone with a lung ailment drink that every day? And
I guess they got them in the springtime when they're just bright and green.
Uh-huh.
They broke them off. You could use them then, and then they dried them up, and then if they wanted to make tea, they made tea. And also I seen them take them spruce tips and boil them in sugar to make some kind of a cough syrup.
Huh.
I've seen that myself.
Uh-huh.
I don't know whether that must be Western version or they just know that the spruce tips would help their cough syrup. What the heck, they might well make a cough syrup.
Huh.
That's one thing I didn't see.
Did you have to take that ever?
No. The only thing I remember get sick, the school teacher would give us castor oil. You didn't dare get sick, you know.
Uh-huh.
But, like, I guess a lot of the ear problems were birth defects or whatever, like infection while the kids were.
Uh-huh. I wonder if some of it might have been diet-related, too. Because I know I always had ear infections when I was a kid, and I think it's because I was allergic to milk, and it caused too much mucus buildup, and they say that happens sometimes. And I wonder if people... Did you drink milk when you were a kid? Do you remember?
Very seldom.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. But,
wonder if it could have been anything like that.
Also... The dentist noticed that most of the villages, all the people had bum teeth.
Uh-huh.
They kind of, I guess it was vitamin C or something that they were missing.
Uh-huh.
A lot of them. But Steve Lashoff, he was in his 70s, and he had all his teeth.
Yeah, that's the kind of thing that really makes me wonder if changes in diet, like a difference in eating certain meat or things prepared a Western way as opposed to a Native way.
It's about 40 years since I got off the, maybe longer than that, since I got off of the Native diet. And you know, I crave a lot of meat yet.
Uh-huh.
I will eat a lot of this rice and macaroni and potatoes and all that. Till I crave meat, I'm hungry for meat.
Yeah.
Just like I was.
Well, probably genetically, that's what your body is used to.
I eat a lot of fish.
Uh-huh.
I could never tire of fish because I And I guess I told you about, I I said that when we go hunting, we would just take tea, flour, sugar, salt. That was the main things we took along.
Uh-huh.
And I would often wonder how come I gained weight on those trips.
Uh-huh.
You know, and they, I think I read an article of the food value in Sierra.
Yeah.
Very, very high.
Yeah, and when you were on those trips, you were basically eating seal meat and seal oil, or fish and, you ate fish with seal oil?
Yes, I would, now you could just imagine how much seal oil would be in there. Like you'd make bread,
uh-huh.
Just mixed water and flour,
uh-huh.
Then you fry that in seal oil.
Oh, okay.
You could imagine.
So just a fried bread.
I used to call it dough gods, you know.
Dough gods?
Dough gods. I don't know where I picked that up from, but I remember being strong-bound one time, and I think that's all we had left was flour. We'd cook it that way. Even the dog would
just chew and chew on it.
Yeah, he kind of. You know, but it's, we didn't eat much greens,
mm-hmm.
You know, potatoes and onions, that's
uh-huh.
all I could think of, you know, that was bulk that would stay
uh-huh.
in our refrigeration, orange
uh-huh.
and apples,
uh-huh.
that was.
When you were out hunting, or in fish camp, did you ever go out and did you eat pushki or petrushki, any of that stuff?
In the springtime, we ate pushki and salmonberry sprouts.
Salmonberry sprouts. What did you do? How did you eat those?
If you look next spring, you look in the salmonberry patch, and you'll mm-hmm. see a new bush forming.
Uh-huh.
It's real soft and about big as a pencil, and it's about 10 inches high. It's a new bush
uh-huh.
that is growing.
Uh-huh.
And you could take that and you could peel it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a soft, green, mushy deal.
Hmm.
You could eat that.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, they called it gung-gung.
Gung-gung?
Yeah, gung-gung.
And would you just munch on that, or would someone go out and collect a lot of it for a meal?
Oh, we'd collect a lot of it and eat it when we seen it, but
uh-huh.
never was part of the meal. You know?
Uh-huh.
And pushkis, you ate them until they turned into wood. You know?
Uh-huh.
But I could remember coming home and my mom would say, you smell like, what do you call it? See, pushki, I think is Russian, from this area.
Yeah.
I got it marked down. It started in our dialect. Yeah, forgetting my language. Uyuduk.
Uyuduk?
Uyuduk. That's the word for pushkish.
Uh-huh.
See, now, I talked about it before, about religion and old tradition kind of combined. There was a holiday in the spring that it was kind of a, they made a point that we got pushkis and ate it on that holiday. It was Pluleok, they called it.
Pluleok?
Pluleok, see, plok is bush.
Uh-huh.
Or it means green vegetation.
Mm-hmm.
Green vegetation. And plurek, plurek is bush, and plurek is making bush. You can see that would be the Aleut translation
uh-huh.
in translating it into English.
Uh-huh.
But
what it really means is the Kule Luck. The greens are making more greens. If you try to translate.
And did that apply to any kind of greens that you would eat, or was that just with the one that was the one bush?
One certain holiday that was in the springtime. And I noticed they'd even nail some green stuff above the door.
So it didn't matter which plant, but something green?
No, just so it was green.
Uh-huh.
It was a holiday of life returning to the green.
Hmm. So that wasn't a Russian holiday, was it?
No, I don't think it was.
That was a hanger-on from old time.
Uh-huh. And they might have synchronized it with a Russian holiday.
Mm-hmm.
Because I remember they had a holiday for the ocean, too.
Hmm. What time of the year was that, do you remember?
Pardon?
Do you remember what time of the year that one was?
That was in late spring. And I don't know how in the interpretation Saint Nicholas got to be the saint of the sea.
Hmm.
I know in Orthodox, I could point out an Orthodox picture of Saint Nicholas, but some guys wore a little icon around their neck
uh-huh.
for protection.
Uh-huh. Did they wear it when they were fishing or all the time?
Yeah, when they went to sea.
Uh-huh.
And they even took some of that incense.
Uh-huh. The kind they burn in church?
Yeah, they used incense. And I guess you see the Russian priest, they always give away a little bread or something.
Uh-huh.
They even took some of that.
Huh.
Put it in a little bag and carried it around their neck.
So it's kind of like an old-time amulet, but with the Russian things.
And during Good Friday, they kept what do you call those things that burn oil all the time? There's a name for it. They burn oil in it and it's hanging up.
Just a little oil lamp, huh? Is there a special name for it?
It's a church decoration, church light. In Russian they call it lampadaki.
Lampadaki.
Something to that.
Uh-huh.
And I've seen they burn that light is going in church during Good Friday, and they take some of that oil that's been burning at that day, and they put it in the bottle, and they would take that along.
Uh-huh. So that was some kind of holy oil that they would burn when they were out?
Yeah, it was sacred. I've seen people rubbing it on it when they were hurt.
Huh.
And I don't know where this... I would like to talk to Russian priest to have him explain this to me. Now they picked out a date. I don't know if it's in the Orthodox Church or whatever it is, but they said that on this day that Jesus got baptized.
Mm-hmm.
So you could imagine, middle, they had up in the creek, they had a kind of a dam built, and they covered it with browse.
Mm-hmm.
They had a little opening there, and go up there at midnight, they'd hold a ritual, and they put the crucifix in that water.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole water was supposed to be holy. So, that's what you
mean. Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of funny, during that week,
the women couldn't use the water from the creek to do their laundry. They had to get rainwater.
Hmm.
You see, there's a misinterpretation there. I asked the elders in the village whether I could write about it.
Mm-hmm.
There was one guy against me.
Hmm.
The other guy said, go ahead, but there was one person against me.
When was that, when you asked them?
Oh, that was quite a while ago. This was about 10 years ago, 15 years ago.
Uh-huh.
Father Nicholas was still alive.
Uh-huh.
And Father Nicholas, I even sang some interpreted hymns. There were some Russian hymns that were interpreted into Aleut.
Mm-hmm.
I even sang some of them for him, and he didn't know what they were.
Because
in the earlier time, they translated. They couldn't translate it word for word, but they would interpret it closest they can to how would I say, to close they can to the hand of the meaning.
Mm-hmm.
They had one translated into English, Russian, and Italian. I remember during Christmas, they taught us that song, us kids, to sing that.
Uh-huh.
See, now, like, sing that. There's one word in that song, the wise man. Now, in Aleut, if I translate it, it was Obiskat, the people that knew a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And the song goes something like this, and the wise men journeyed on to the star. And then, I would like to there's a word I'd like to speak to some of the older here, like the song goes, Akanach Pak, today. The word is Akrechak. Okay. Shukwaka. Akrechak. Whoever that was, gave birth. Now, Chana Shtitama. See now, if I could find somebody that could speak good Aleut, I could have him translate. Akhnakhpa Gavakham Shukhkova Chana Shtitama. Begilded, gift, Hokeskat, the wise man, begilded Hokeskat, begilded Hokeskat, Nayangarit, worship.
Mm-hmm.
Begilded Hokeskat, Nayangarit, Ukhakodya, believe in them. You hear Tanke Muk, right? Now Maria, what is that? Just, I wish I could talk to a Russian person and get that song translated.
Mm-hmm.
Believe it. It could be holy, right, or something spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
Mari, so that must have been Mother of
Mother Mary.
Mother Mary, yeah, could be. Charlie, meet them, Abokhtoba. See, now there's Russian in there. Christu, Yusha. So the other Christ, I guess, or else that's the closest the alley could come to.
Mm-hmm.
The star, meet them, the star, meet them, Abokhtoba. Now, Abokhtoba. Abach means ask, but Abokhtoba means asking and pointing out. See, the words could mean so many
things. Mm-hmm.
The star is pointing out Christusa,
mm-hmm.
Christ. Christusa.
I wonder if Father Innocent might be able to make some of that out. He speaks Russian.
Could be. I would rather see. I've tried to ask people, you know, but they don't know what they have a very big mouth, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And that just cut me off right now.
Uh-huh.
They'll talk around it, but they won't exactly tell you what it's all about.
Mm-hmm.
And see, Kodiak was so Russian influenced way before.
Uh-huh.
We were very out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the natives up there avoided the white.
Uh-huh.
And I was reading in one, I don't know whether it was a Russian journal, or I think it was a Russian diary. Right in Titlik, some of them guys starved to death on that ship.
Some of the Russians did?
Yeah. The natives wouldn't have nothing to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, for the cruelty of Alec before them.
Mm-hmm.
I guess they were even eating crows then, you know,
wow.
The Russians were. But I don't remember what book I read that in.
Mm-hmm.
It mentioned the Titlik.
Hmm.
And see, I don't know whether I meant see where Latouche is right there.
Uh-huh.
Latouche.
Yeah.
That claim, could you imagine, as it was told, that claim was sold for 50 pounds of flour.
Latouche was for trapping or?
No, the person that found the copper there was native.
Oh.
He sold that claim to someone for 50 pounds of flour.
Wow.
And I know the name, I think, of the person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, see, now this is all handed down.
Hmm. How long ago do you think that would have happened that copper claim got handed over?
The person was older than me, and it was his dad's grandfather. So that was
quite a ways back.
Yeah. know, this is, you know, generally when stories are told like that in a village, they're crude.
Mm-hmm.
They are crude. You
know? Yeah.
It's something that happened.
Mm-hmm.
But that was a bygone time.
Mm-hmm.
I wish, well, maybe I'll get around to it, but it's a lot of history, you know, if you could go up there. But they're so close-mouthed, they won't talk about it. They'll mm-hmm. climb up on certain stages.
Mm-hmm.
Like I could talk to them, you know, they would tell me a lot,
mm-hmm.
because I'm one of them.
Yeah.
But one person found out I was writing a book, and then he kind of climbed up.
Mm-hmm.
They couldn't seem to, they couldn't seem to get the idea that I was doing it to preserve it.
Mm-hmm.
They just thought that I was doing it to make money.
Mm-hmm.
See, most of the old burial sites in Prince William Sound got rebuilt.
With the development that you were telling me, one place?
Yeah, it was, this was in the era of when Russia sold Alaska to the United States.
Uh-huh.
And people, ships were coming around and they were digging into those areas.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But they rebuilt.
They
moved away from the old tradition sites and buried a couple of them. We were looking at some mounds in right in Anton Garden. Right where that cabin is, the field owns the cabin.
Mm-hmm.
There's several mounds in there.
Hmm.
And Debbie said she dug into one and she's seen some stuff. She thought she'd let me know.
Uh-huh.
So she thought they were old barabras. There's several mounds right.
Hmm.
Right at the left-hand side, going into Anton Larsen Bay,
mm-hmm.
you see a cabin right there, and there's a creek
mm-hmm.
that Silvers go to.
Mm-hmm.
Right on this area, there's about three mounds, big ones.
Mm-hmm.
They're about high as this. And Debbie said she dug into one of them, and she said they were for robbers. I didn't pursue it that because I didn't want to. And I told Rick about Sharif where I thought they were mounds.
Mm-hmm.
Pete Olson happened to come in at that time when I was telling him I didn't say anything.
Yeah.
But there's these up at the Prince William Sound. I guess there's a lot of archaeologists, like, you know, at the old villages.
Mm-hmm.
I think, but you'll find Jack about that.
I remember you showing me that one before.
It's real close to Chattanooga. Did I tell you real close to Chattanooga?
Near
Chattanooga? Yeah, see, look at Chattanooga right there. Now go left.
Oh, okay, Jackpot Island?
No, Jackpot Bay. Is it up your right?
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, on the left-hand side, there's a bluff there, and that is where the alley-oop was supposed to go. They waited till the Tlingit war canoes came down, and supposedly sank the canoes.
Oh, so they kind of ambushed them.
But also, I think I read that Oh, I think it was EAC.
Mm-hmm.
EAC version of it. They chased the natives up the mountain or something. You know, it's hard to say, you know.
Yeah.
Because even when I was growing up, I thought that would be all forgotten. I mean, she's originally from Copper River, but I guess raised around the EAC country, because I was pretty young and we were at a party and she made a remark, "I don't like you. You used to kill our people, you know." Uh-huh. But I thought it was probably just like the North and the South. You get a Northerner and a Southerner together, the revolution will go on.
Uh-huh.
Probably just the same thing. It's kind of funny. And that. But I guess up in the, like, in the Cordova area, the Aleuts mixed with the Eaks and the Tlinkets.
Uh-huh.
Ice Yakutat, that's the last coming this way, that's the last Tlinket settlement.
Hmm, okay.
They didn't mix with each other.
Huh.
And I don't think so. I seen a picture of Black Steve in the Tetitlik Museum, and he was supposed to be Aleut, but I think he might have been Athabasca.
Hmm.
It's not even recorded, even in